and welcome to episode 2 of the Mile High Bourbon and Rye podcast. Sitting here recording this on a wonderful Monday afternoon, beautiful weather outside, nice and warm today, a little bit windy, but really enjoying the sunshine as it were today, especially after that large snowstorm we had, followed by a slightly smaller snowstorm we had, and apparently we're about to get another small snowstorm. And as much as I'm enjoying the really nice weather today, I gotta say, I'm not upset with the amount of snow that the state is getting right now. Last summer, 50% of the entire state was on fire for what seemed like the entire summer. I would really very much not want to go through that again. I would not like anybody's homes to be burnt down. I don't want anything to be in danger of getting destroyed. Just would like a very nice, easy summer this year. Maybe even go camping and have a campfire would be awesome. So I say bring on the snow this time of year. Just dump it all right now. Fill up all those reservoirs. Get Colorado nice and hydrated so that when the summer comes around, we're not going through crazy drought, crazy fires, everything like that. Today, we're going to be talking about the differences in whiskeys, which we've got a page on that up on the site. Most of this is coming just right off of that page. But if you'd prefer to listen instead of reading through the whole thing, then here it is. If you're not a big whiskey drinker or you're just new to the whiskey game, you just want to learn a little bit about it, this is sort of a general overview of what everything underneath the wide umbrella of whiskey is. Basically, whiskey is any spirit that is distilled from a fermented grain mash. Various grains are used, there's a lot of different ones that are in there, but the four major grains that you'll find in almost every whiskey is corn, the majority grain in bourbon, rye, wheat, and barley, the barley either malted or unmalted. Both forms are used in a lot of different whiskeys. The combination of the grains, the number of times that this mash is distilled, the area that it's produced, and the time spent aging, they all affect not only the final flavor that you have in your glass, but also what can legally be put on the label from all across the world. So there's a lot that goes into this, so many things to kind of unpack there. We're going to go ahead and try to unpack it at least briefly so you have a fundamental understanding of the differences between all of these guys. While we're talking about this, today I am sipping the Cask House Rye Whiskey. This is Colorado, of course, made by the Farm and Spirit Company, which is the same folks that do Mash Build, which we've done a couple of those reviews. Wonderful folks. Guy in charge of it, Rich, he does a spectacular job blending, aging, doing all of this with these products. It is so, so great to try everything that he puts out, so I very highly recommend it. I do just want to knock one other thing out of the way real quick, as we are very much in the middle of hockey season right now. My favorite hockey team, the Colorado Avalanche, are on a 10-game point streak. Really just crushing through the competition at the moment. Bit of a frustrating loss to the Las Vegas Golden Knights the other day. It is what it is. Certainly not the outcome that we wanted, but split the series with the Knights there. And I also just got to throw out that the way the game ended in overtime, so many things to unpack in that game if you're a sports guy, but there's tons of places to do that. I just want to use this to vocalize my frustration with just how much bad luck can possibly happen. Devontae's has the chance to clear the puck, stop the game-winning goal from going in overtime, and the blade of his stick snaps off. It's a ridiculous amount of bad luck. I cannot believe it's even possible to have that turn of luck happen at that exact moment, but it is what it is. Avs lose in overtime, still get a point out of the game, 10-game point streak. Now we'll jump back into whiskey because that's what you guys are here to listen to. So let's go ahead and talk about the different forms of whiskey from all across the world. The first one we're going to jump into, we'll hit the laws for being able to call it scotch, is scotch. Obviously, coming out of Scotland, it is often considered the original whiskey. And in fact, if you are in Scotland, you don't call it Scotch, you just call it whiskey. Nobody in Scotland will refer to it as anything other than whiskey because they have been doing it the longest. So it makes sense for them to just refer to it as whiskey. There's nothing else that would be considered whiskey to them. Makes sense to me. So in order to be called a Scotch, the whiskey must be produced at a distillery in Scotland from water and malted barley, and only whole grains of other cereals may be added. The barley and all other grains must be processed at that distillery into a mash, be converted at the distillery to a fermentable substrate, be fermented at the distillery only by adding yeast, and be distilled to an alcoholic strength of less than 94.8% alcohol by volume, or about 190 proof. It then must be aged for a minimum of 3 years in casks no larger than 700 liters in an excise warehouse in Scotland. The product must retain the color, aroma, and taste of raw materials used and the method of production and aging. The whiskey cannot have any added substances other than water and plain caramel coloring, and the final product must be at least 40% alcohol by volume. Now, Scotland obviously has a lot of different everything sort of to it. There's Speyside, Lowland, Highland, Islay, all sorts of different regions that you can get a Scotch whiskey from. All of them produce a little bit of different flavors, a little bit of different everything that goes into it. Me personally, I'm a really big fan of those super smoky ones. Islay is very big on that one. Heavy smoke and peat. You also get a little bit of that salt influence from aging so close to the ocean, that kind of briny quality. I'm a big fan of that style, personally. But Scotch whiskey is not always just crazy smoky. You've got the Speyside, the Lowlands, the Highlands. Those ones are going to be a little bit less smoke to almost no smoke on some of them as well. So there's really something to enjoy if you're a fan of the barley especially. There's something in Scotland that you will like. So just figured we'd kind of touch base on that. Let's move on to the next style that we've got is Irish whiskey. Irish whiskey can also trace its history back to the 1400s, just like Scotch can. And Ireland is also home to the oldest licensed distillery in the world, the Old Bushmills Distillery, which was licensed in the year 1608. That's a heck of a long time to have a continuously operating distillery. Kind of awesome. In order to be classified as an Irish whiskey, you have to follow the following guidelines. Irish whiskey must be distilled and aged in the country of Ireland. The contained spirits must not exceed 94.8 alcohol by volume, 94.8% alcohol by volume. The contained spirits must be made from a yeast fermented mash of cereal grains in such a way that the distillate has an aroma and flavor derived from the grains. The whiskey has to be triple distilled. The whiskey must then be aged for a minimum of 3 years in wooden casks that are no larger than 700 liters. And if the whiskey is made from two or more such distillates, the product must be referred to as blended Irish whiskey. You'll notice there's a lot of overlap in the laws there, which will be a trend that you'll see through a lot of these different types of things. Whiskey makers take whiskey very seriously. A lot of the things that they've taken seriously since the beginning are carried over into each and every type of whiskey that there is. Different types of Irish whiskey: single malt, single pot still, grain, and blended. Single pot still is one that I just want to touch base on real quick. The single pot still whiskey contains a blend of malted and unmalted barley and can only be distilled on pot stills. The reason I want to touch base on that one is because there is the very first U.S. single pot still distillery. Making the whiskey in the Irish tradition is Talnua. If you follow us at all, you definitely know we've brought them up a number of times. Huge fans of their product. It is absolutely spectacular. The Founders Reserve we just had released on St. Patrick's Day. My goodness. I absolutely love that bottle. It was spectacular. I also want to let you know that if you ever find yourself in the area with some time, you can stop into the distillery and you can meet with Patrick down there at the distillery. He can tell you all sorts of information. If you are a whiskey fan, if you really like the details of distillation, the history of the product, that is the man to talk to. He knows his stuff very well. In fact, honestly, everybody there really does, but talking to Patrick was just such a blast when I got to do that. I'd love to have him on the podcast. I think we're going to try to get some stuff like that set up here pretty soon. We'll see how it goes, but first single pot still distillery in the U.S., Irish style whiskey, right here in Colorado. I just am such a huge fan of that. So then, speaking of in the U.S., the very next style we'll talk about is bourbon. Bourbon is America's spirit. Brought over the idea of distillation, the science behind it, I guess, if you will. But I can't think of the word I'm trying to say right now. But basically, how to distill was brought over by Scottish and Irish immigrants in the 1700s. Bourbon is made from predominantly corn because that is what was available. It was readily, easily available to distillers, made it very easy for them to just have something that they could use to make their whiskey with. That then became America's spirit because it was what we were making here in the U.S. The invention of bourbon is often attributed to Elijah Craig. However, that's really more apocryphal. For bourbon to be what it is today, really was probably a collaboration created by committee. It was done by everybody who was doing it at the time and eventually came together. Not like they came together as people in a group or anything, but, you know, everything that they were producing came together to become what we know as bourbon today. In order to be labeled as bourbon, you have to follow the following rules. Must be made in the United States of America. Does not have to be made in Kentucky. However, Kentucky is really the bourbon center of the U.S. You'll never find any whiskey made outside of the U.S. legally labeled as bourbon. It must be made from at least 51% corn. There are no restrictions otherwise as to how much any other grain you can use, but all the other grains that you use cannot exceed 49% of the mash bill. It then must be distilled at less than 160 proof, or 80% alcohol by volume. The barrels for aging bourbon must be new, charred American white oak. Each barrel will need to be made from brand new American white oak. It cannot be a barrel that was previously used in order to be called bourbon. When put into the barrel for aging, the whiskey must not exceed 125 proof, or 62.5% alcohol by volume. The whiskey must be aged in the new charred American white oak barrels for a minimum of 2 years in order to be designated as straight bourbon. However, there is no maximum time limit, so it can be as old as the distiller wants. And finally, the bourbon must have unadulterated flavors and colors. There cannot be anything added to change the flavor, the coloring, anything. All of that has to come from the grain's distilling and aging process. The next one we're going to touch base on is rye whiskey. For an American rye, the mash bill must be at least 51% rye. Any of the other three grains, or really any grains, can be used, but typically American ryes will use specifically corn and malted barley. The wheat doesn't play as well, I suppose, but that's typically what you're going to find. It can be distilled to no more than 160 proof, or 80% alcohol by volume. Must be aged again in new charred oak barrels, and the whiskey must not be put into the barrels at more than 125 proof, or 62.5% alcohol by volume. And then, same as the designation for straight bourbon, to be designated as straight rye, must be aged for at least 2 years. Now, Canadian rye does not have any requirements to be labeled as rye whiskey, but we'll touch base with that on the Canadian whiskeys. We're going to follow up the bourbon and rye with Tennessee whiskey. Tennessee whiskey is made with basically all the same rules as bourbon, except it's made in the state of Tennessee. Most Tennessee whiskey producers will point to the fact that their whiskey is the only one passed through a charcoal filtering process, and therefore is differentiated from bourbon. They also claim that gives it a much smoother and different taste. That's why they do that. So there you go. That's why Jack Daniel's says Tennessee whiskey on the label and does not say bourbon on the label. Honestly, the smoothness, the flavor, and everything of the charcoal, that's totally up to you to decide. We're not going to say one way or the other whether it affects it or not. I haven't had Jack Daniel's in a little while. Probably should pick up a bottle of it again. I have had, however, a single barrel of the Jack Daniel's. I think it was Gentleman Jack single barrel. One of those guys. My goodness, that was super tasty. But single barrel, totally different thing. I digress. Let's jump back in. American whiskey is any whiskey that is made in the United States but does not conform to one or more of the regulations to be called rye, bourbon, or Tennessee. This can mean it's either not aged long enough, it has a mash bill that doesn't fit in there, it uses used oak barrels, really anything. But that also means a whiskey labeled as American whiskey can have vastly different flavor from another American whiskey. We're just going to go ahead and touch base on Colorado whiskey. All that that means is it is made in Colorado. If it follows all the laws to be labeled as bourbon, it has to still be labeled as bourbon. It can't be just labeled as a Colorado whiskey. There's actually a really funny story about that. Our friends down at Law's Whiskey House put out their 2-grain whiskey. They were trying to make like a corn whiskey or something along those lines. Not call it a bourbon, but everything that they did, it was the 2-grain bourbon because it was mostly corn, and then it followed every other rule to be labeled a bourbon, so they couldn't label it as something else. They had to label it as a bourbon. If you find yourself down there, I'm sure one of them can give you a little bit more detail, as I'm a little bit fuzzy on it, but I thought that was just, it really cracked me up that it got that specific to the point where they had to call it a bourbon. They couldn't call it anything else. With that being said, we're going to take a very brief break here. We'll be right back. This would be the point where if I had a sponsor, we'd throw their little advertisement in. So I guess we'll return in just a moment. Okay, and we are back and ready to talk about Canadian whiskey. Canadian whiskey must be mashed and distilled in Canada. The alcohol content may not exceed 90% alcohol by volume or 180 proof. The spirits must be aged for a minimum of 3 years in wooden barrels no larger than 700 liter capacity. And the final whiskey must be at least 40% alcohol by volume or 80 proof. Whiskey in Canada can be labeled as Canadian, Canadian rye, or rye when sold in Canada. However, when exporting the product, usually the labeling must conform to local laws and regulations. So a Canadian rye whiskey, if it's to be sold in the U.S., must conform to U.S. labeling regulations. The next one we've got is Japanese whiskey, which the only thing we'd really found when writing the original guide is that it must be produced or at least barreled or maybe even just bottled in Japan. It's very recently happened that Japanese whiskey is now going to have a lot more regulation to it. Unfortunately, today I don't have a whole lot of the information on it. That will be something that we will update on the site in the Differences in Whiskey page, so keep an eye out for that. We'll probably touch base on it in a future episode of the podcast. Now, we're kind of nearing the end of this episode, but before we wrap it up and before I talk about some of these flavors of this delicious rye whiskey from Cask House, I did want to take a moment and just bring up one of my favorite distilleries in the state, one of Angie's favorite distilleries in the state, one of the early on reviewed ones on this site, the Elkins Distillery up in Estes Park. If you've paid attention to really anything, if you're a fan of theirs, you know that they had an incident happen, unfortunately put a couple of their employees into the hospital. We have posted the GoFundMe to raise some money for everything outside of their medical bills that could pop up. If you guys want to take a moment and donate to that, excellent. Otherwise, if you like their whiskey, right now is an excellent, excellent time to show that support by buying a bottle from wherever it is that you're buying it from. Just pick one up and then enjoy, because they're delicious. They're spectacular products. It's definitely not awesome that this happened, but from everything I can tell, both employees are doing well. The dog's doing well. Really happy to hear that piece of it. Hopefully they'll be back open soon. We can go up there, hang out there, have a couple more of their absolutely spectacular cocktails. But in the meantime, if you're in Estes Park, they've got a shop downtown. Stop in, pick up a bottle or two. Just, you know, support these guys through this here, because they're wonderful, wonderful people. We've had nothing but the best experiences there with these folks. So, absolutely, 100% worth it. Stop on in, pick up some bottles. Pick up bottles from your local stores, whoever it is that you shop with. Jump on to Drizzly and order it off of there. Use our link in our site and get yourself something along those lines too. Help support us and help support Elkins. All of that is awesome, but really, definitely make sure that you're getting yourselves some Elkins whiskey, not only just to support them, but because it truly is an excellent Colorado whiskey. We've said repeatedly, it is a Colorado whiskey. It's not something that you'll find really any style elsewhere. They made it unique to Colorado. So, big shout out to them. Really glad everybody's doing well. Can't wait to get back up there, Elkins, and hang out, have some cocktails with you guys. And so that's that piece there. Now, just to kind of brief talk about this Cask House Rye. One of the best parts about rye is the spicy notes that you get off of it. This glass has a lot of that cinnamon, and my goodness, it comes through very well. It is very, very delicious. The Cask House Rye, the Cask House Whiskies, they've got the rye whiskey that we're having today, they've got a bourbon barrel finished rye, they've got a rye barrel finished bourbon, which is also really excellent. If you haven't had any of their stuff, I definitely recommend picking it up. Just took a little bit of a sip there. Nice and sweet notes kind of up front, but it grabs a lot of that white pepper, spicy notes on the finish, that cinnamon through the mid palate, all the way through. It's remarkably easy drinking, but without being soft, which is really a good quality. If you're not a big whiskey fan, or you're trying to get into some new ones, you're trying to learn all of this kind of stuff, then I would recommend trying the Cask House Rye if you're still newer to ryes or working on it. Give them a shot. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful bottles there. Man, this is just, it's such a good pour. Surprisingly, though, I don't actually have a review of this guy up, so that'll have to be one that we get a review up on soon, very soon, because, man, it is, again, just such a good bottle as I'm sitting here sipping it. I've had it a few times, but that's one of the things with everything from Farm and Spirit. Each time I try it, I just remember how much I like it. It's so, so damn good. Sneak peek real quick at a couple of reviews. Obviously, the Cask House Rye is going to be one coming up soon. We've got that Art of the Spirits single barrel exclusive to Total Beverage with the rum cask finish. Man, that was a tasty, tasty bottle. Cask strength, so certainly is a little bit hot, but overall, I thought the flavor was excellent in it. Can't wait to have that review up for you guys to read it. And then we'll have some more coming soon as well. We've got the Old Saints Keep 2021 release that we'll have up pretty soon. And some more bottles. I think I might actually have some stuff outside of Colorado coming onto the site pretty soon too. We love getting and trying basically everything that there is. So keep your eyes out for that. Otherwise, we'll end the note here on, once again, we are a Drizzly affiliate. So if you would like to have any of the things that we've reviewed, talked about, or even shared posts of, we follow Colorado whiskey, spirits, if you're a vodka person, heck, if you just want a beer or whatever it is, but you don't want to leave your house, then go ahead and hop on to Drizzly. We've got the links all over our site. Click on one of those links, follow it in, place your order, 60 minutes or less, it's at your door, right there. You don't have to move, you don't have to do anything, it's boom, right there. So easy, so convenient, absolutely excellent to use. Highly, highly recommend using the service. Used it a couple of times, honestly. And the fact that it just shows up, you don't have to do anything. You're hanging out at home, you don't want to get up, you don't want to get out of the house, start the car, drive down, pick everything up, get back. It's, I mean, talk about first world problems, first off. Like, that's just a lazy person not wanting to do much, but I've been there and not wanting to do much. So, have someone else bring it right to you. And again, in under 60 minutes, it works out excellent. Follow any of those links. They've always got promo codes for first-time orders. Definitely do that. Help support us and get your drink delivered directly to your door, 60 minutes or less. That'll pretty much wrap it up for this episode. We've got more episodes coming in the future. Thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to continue to support us in other ways, tell people about our site, read the site, jump on to the site, check out some of our articles. We've got a bunch of stuff up there. That Axe and Oak cast strength pork finish that we talked about on the last episode, is the review is up. Man, those were good. I say that a lot. I say a lot of things are good. Maybe I just really enjoy everything that I've tried, for the most part. There's a few things that I haven't liked, but I do say a lot of things are good. But they are, so you should try them. Go check those out, read the site, share it, follow us on social media. We've got an Instagram, we've got a Facebook, we've got a Twitter. Search Mile High Bourbon and Rye, search Mile High Bourbon. Check those out, follow us, and tell us what you're drinking. Tell us what you've tried. What's new? What have you guys had that maybe we haven't yet? Would absolutely love to see it. So, otherwise, again, thanks for listening, and y'all have a great rest of your day. Cheers.